Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report today. With me today is Daniel McAdams. Good to see you, Daniel.
How are you this morning, Dr. Paul?
I'm doing quite well, thank you.
Good.
And ready and raring to go.
Good.
Hopefully add something positive to the world, but you know, when we talk every once in a while, we can bring up negative things.
Yeah.
And we have a few negative things to do because we're going to follow up on the usual subject that we've dealt with so much in these last several weeks, and that is coronavirus. And I was just mentioning to you, I said, you know, there's a lot of pros and cons and argument about how serious this is. I said, it has nothing to do with the virus. It has to do with government power and authority and using the coronavirus as an excuse. And I think a lot of what we've discovered and others are starting to discover is that the statistics, you know, have been fudged all along. And all of a sudden now they have dropped this whole idea of how bad it is by measuring how many people died.
Yeah.
It's because there's not as many people dying, they don't talk about that. But they've been out searching, and they get rewarded for finding it. It's like finding Easter eggs out there.
Yeah.
And they're finding them, and a lot of positive tests are coming up. And the way they operate at hospitals, everybody gets tested, and everybody gets marked down, and that is of the line, whether it's for admissions or whether it's for death certificates or whatever, no matter what the real causes are, coronavirus. And there's money involved, and we are continuing with this. After it closed down and things got better, I thought maybe we're over the hump, but no, we have a second wave. A second wave of coronavirus? No, a second wave of totalitarianism rearing its ugly head again and coming back. And I have a sense of feeling that things are every bit as bad from the government this time as it was a few weeks ago, even though the statistics are much better. But Fauci reassured us again once today that you got to be concerned because we heard there's a new virus coming, worse than everyone's. Probably either Russia or China created it, and they're going to find an enemy. But the totalitarians, the ones who use this as a way of encroaching on our liberties, very early on, they were very honest. It'll never be the same.
Yeah.
We can't go back. And all I thought to thinking, well, I don't like people going back. A lot of people used to tell me, we talk about the gold standard, and I say, I don't want to go back to the gold standard. We can improve on the one we had, shortcoming. So we don't want to just go back because there were things that we didn't like. We didn't like the whole idea that, and we talked about it, was the abuse of police powers.
Yeah.
And but they assured to us in the announcement of the need to crack down, and once they discovered how serious it was, they said, it'll never be the same. And now we're getting some reports out that are showing how much has changed. And yet there are still a lot of people that don't like it. A lot of people would like to hear the message. And I hope that's what we can provide, is an answer to the people who say that we have to be totalitarians because it's so serious and people are dying. So somebody has to say it, and there's more and more people saying it. And we were delighted this week that three major hospitals in Houston refuted the national headlines.
Yeah.
Texas had national headlines. They're running out of spaces. There's an epidemic worse than ever. And it wasn't even true. And but the doctors, the physicians, the CEOs and others stood up and said, it's not that bad. You know, there are problems, but they would even bring up the subject of measurements instead of just, you know, avoiding talking about deaths and just talking about people who get the label and then do millions and millions of tests. Somebody's making some money on that one way or another. And lo and behold, all you have to do is say, if you have a positive, you know, you're put in that category. But I've had a couple, you know, statements made, and we've read about it, and I can't verify this, but I sort of believe it, is that when you test them, you know, do a blind test with the testers, you get more positives than you have by testing it by somebody else. So, and this is part of the problem that we have is it builds in a system where there's so much distrust and anger, and so we can't even trust what our government says.
Yeah.
But we've known that for a long time, and yet they have an agenda, and the agenda is not liberty. The agenda is obedience.
Yeah.
And that's what this is all about. And the things that we're going to mention now is we as a people have to toe line. We have to be obedient. And if you see somebody that doesn't have a mask on, it's best you call somebody quickly, you know, turn them in. That is a suggestion that totalitarianism is alive and well and something we can't ignore.
And we even seeing it in our neck of the woods here in Texas, which I never would have believed, this kind of mask hysteria. But yeah, they call it the new normal. You can't go back to your own lives. You've got to go to a new normal, and things are going to be very different, but you just have to get used to it. You know, the new normal based on what? I mean, take, for example, Texas. In 2018 flu season, 11,000 people died in Texas. The 2020 COVID flu, a little over 2,000 have died. So how can you have 11,000 die here? No big deal, just another flu season. Then you have a little bit 2,000 people, including only 16 people in Brazoria County, and then they tell us you can't go back to your normal life. You know, and now they're saying with this new wave that it's all the fault of the people who wanted to go back to work because they opened too soon. And even our own governor said, well, looks like I opened too soon. People in California and Arizona, it's all your fault. You opened too soon. Of course, these are the people who were still collecting their paycheck throughout those 2 months when nobody was getting paid. Nobody else was getting paid. People were losing their houses. People were, you know, losing their mortgages, losing their businesses. The people who are still collecting a paycheck are now sitting back and smirking, saying, well, you opened too soon, got to close it down. But as you say, and we've said it, you know, quite a few times, there's a massive increase in testing. There's a massive incentive to test. A lot of these tests are covered by state governments now because they want to get those numbers up because it's very political. California has just announced unprecedented levels of testing. And guess what? They have a lot of new cases. The same is true with Arizona. So it's all political. I didn't think it would work to do the same thing again, but with even less merit. But unfortunately, thus far, it seems to be working.
You know what that made me think of when you said we left too soon? But what about in foreign policy? Wasn't that always the excuse?
Yeah, yeah.
And then the neocons were like, well, you left too soon.
Yeah.
National liberty, because persons, people, individuals are unimportant in a totalitarian society other than obedience. And what we hear and deal with and what we're so frustrated with is the effort to push the obedience on it.
Yeah.
The government told us to wear masks, and it's so strong. The thing that really scares me, and we've talked about it, is that when your neighbors turn you in,
yeah,
or the police is called, that one picture still bothers me to no end, when the priest wouldn't let a father and a daughter pray in an empty church, and he called the police, and the police came, and you know, wouldn't allow it to happen. I mean, this is, that is, and it's an attack on the church. Just think, they've changed it a little bit on this lockdown because the point was, you know, you're closing the churches, but you can still go to the bar.
Yeah.
And now, oh, no, you can't even go to the bar.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's the authoritarianism that was inviting this problem, but it's made much worse. Prior to coronavirus and the collapse of the financial system, there wasn't this big push. But we're in the middle of it. I say the financial correction is the big one. The coronavirus is an addition to it. And then Black Lives Matter, that's an addition. It all brings it together that those people were, you know, even I was hesitant to put it in those terms that, you know, we're on a merge of on the verge of a military conflict here in this country, you know, a war going on here. And there are, the more I look at this and the more language I hear, there are some people that are very nasty and they're killing each other.
Yeah.
But we've always known, you know, in the inner city, there's been a lot of killing going on and no, they wouldn't pay any attention. So it wasn't the life they were concerned about. But there was an article today to sort of help make my point. It came from the Seattle police chief, and she said, you know, that's where they had the little COVID, or what was
the
it
CHOP
called? CHOP. They had the CHOP organization. And she must have believed, well, we got what we want. Throw the police out, and magic is going to happen. And this is what she said. Ask, why black people keep dying in the Black Lives Matter zone? And she's asking a question like she doesn't have any idea why this happened. Well, they were doing it before, and maybe she thought, it was just the police that were the cause. But the police are gone, yeah. So why? Maybe she'll figure it out.
The problem remains. I know a lot of times you like to compare what's happening here with foreign policy, and I think it's an interesting conceptual thing. And one of the things that I was thinking about is the idea of requiring masks. And unfortunately, here in Lake Jackson and in Clute next door, they've mandated masks in businesses. All throughout Texas now, masks are being mandated, in California and Arizona too. And it really strikes me that mandating masks is sort of like sanctions. You know, when we put sanctions on a country, politicians want to be seen doing something, but they don't want to start a war. They don't want to drop a bomb necessarily. But hey, we got to do something. It seems like the mask
sanctions,
mandate
is
kind of like sanctions, you know. But I put together a little list, and we brainstormed before the show about the new normal in our title, hence totalitarianism. Is it the new normal? And here are some things that they want us to accept as our new normal. First of all is the mass surveillance with the contact tracing. We've talked about that before, where if you happen to test positive, they'll look on your phone or they'll interview you or they'll come knock at your door. Hey, we want to know anyone you've talked to, where you've been, what you've been doing, and we're going to get those people. We're going to put them in quarantine. That's something that we're expected to accept, and that's never been something that we've had before. And we have a picture up now. Mass surveillance. And here's an article from MIT. We need mass surveillance to fight COVID. But it doesn't have to be creepy. You know, it's like Uncle Joe Stalin. Totalitarianism doesn't have to be so creepy. But that's one of them. And, you know, there are so many others. The new normal is compromised immune systems. Dr. Sunetra Gupta at Oxford talked about how the lockdowns weaken our immune systems. We're not getting exposed to germs that we're supposed to be. So we're going to be perpetually weaker immune systems. And that, of course, makes us more vulnerable to the new viruses that come down the pipe.
Right.
But anyway, I don't know what you think about those.
Well, the one question I had when you were mentioning these things is they're mandates. They're telling them they have to do it. But what about the legality of it? Are these mandates, do they have any sense of reality as far as being legal? Legal locally, local laws, legal constitutionally? I don't think they are, And that's an extreme view, that we have. But they don't have the authority to do this. So how do they get away with it? The people are going along with it. We're outnumbered.
Yeah.
And it has to do with fear, because you have to be scared to death that if they don't do it, you have two things. You're going to get the virus and die, or you're going to be in trouble with the law, or you're going to receive a fine. So you have to have fear and then intimidation that there's going to be serious repercussions if you don't go along. And that also is necessary to maintain the totalitarian state.
Yeah.
You know, this is just temporary. This is a conditioning exercise for the masses. And I cannot think for a minute that there isn't some connection worldwide. And I don't think it's just the virus, because we've had many infections that have been worldwide, and this is less serious than some others, even some other influenza. But this never happens. But this is worldwide. So it's a lot of intimidation. It has spread. And when you look at what's happening in our streets, when you can see the banding together, that the people who are tired of the lockdown and the people who are tired of police brutality, and that brings out support from very good people. I think it's bad. Ron Paul said that there was too much police brutality, too.
Yeah.
But they never followed through and say, well, what's the alternative? Yeah. And that's what we'd like to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, here are a few other things that just come up when you just start thinking about it. Oh, cashless society kills privacy. The idea, the concept that you can have a forced vaccination and you can be forced to accept other medical treatments against your will. Permanent state of emergency is another one, Dr. Paul. Ryan McMakin has a piece on Mises' site today about the legality of extending emergency. You know, in Texas, you only get 30 days. Colorado, you only get 30 days. Florida, 60 days. Those have passed long since. The legislatures did not go back in and meet and pass and say, okay, you can extend it. The person who initially declared it, the governors, who now rule by decree, have just expanded. So the idea that we have a permanent state of emergency is another one of these ideas, the new normal. The idea that the churches are subject to the whim of politicians. You can close it at will. Low threshold for lockdowns. The merger of business and the state, and this is one we should talk about, because remember, the new updates for your Apple, your iPhone, and your other phones, they have a built in there, the contact tracing, the COVID contact tracing, built into your private phone that's going to help the government follow you.
Oh, I know. It's scary, and a lot of people know about this, but they're totally helpless. And I have that feeling myself of help. What do you do? How do you get out of this? Because we do become dependent. We depend on our televisions. We are dependent on our internet services and getting out our program. So there's good and bad that exists there, and to sort it out. But there are people now trying to prepare for the day when our First Amendment rights are totally destroyed, and that there'll be others that will fulfill the role. And that's why some freedom has to be maintained, so that free markets and free minds can give us an alternative. And that's the same way with this idea of defunding the police. Let's say that we go along with it. We have a coalition. Okay, we'll defund the police because some of these police departments are so corrupt and they're so bad. We'll defund the police. Well, if you don't look to what you're creating, then you have something like what they have in Seattle. It doesn't really solve the problem. The killing goes on. But you have to replace the authoritarianism that isn't working, the taxes and all the messes in the inner cities and the welfare state. What you have to do is not to go back exactly the way it was, but to think about what positive things you can do. And that is honor and respect private property, honor and respect the contract, honor and respect the whole principle of the Second Amendment. And I think that in no time, if you did it with a transition, say, look, in no time, you're on your own. Why don't you talk to your neighbors and find out how you're going to defend your neighborhood? Why couldn't the business people in the city get together and do that? But right now, I don't think, because right now, if you do it, you're defending the defender of the property is the one that's, who's the biggest, who's the most guilty of the problem.
Yeah. Well, we want to switch a little bit, and you touched on it earlier, but we want to focus a little bit because I think this is really important. The whole new lockdown, it's not quite a lockdown yet, but the governor threatened yesterday, Abbott, the governor of Texas threatened, and I'm sure other governors are following suit. Hey, if numbers keep getting worse, if we keep getting more cases, we're going to go back to lockdown, so you better put your mask on. Don't you dare go to those bars. The mayor of Houston said, I'm going to make a list of all you naughty businesses and shame you, which is, can you imagine a public servant doing this, paid by these businesses? But it's all based on these reports coming out of primarily Texas, but also California and elsewhere, that hospitals are being overrun. That's the reason. That's the scare. They're at 95% capacity. And I wanted to do a couple of things. This is a couple this is a message sent by one of the directors of emergency rooms in Houston. But first, there's a couple more clips before we get to that, because I think it's important. This one, Dr. Paul, we like to talk about what really matters. And these are deaths. Each line represents a specific age group in the U.S. for COVID-19. And, of course, the bottom axis is the time axis. We're here just past, we're a little 10 days out of this, which is updated on 6/20 of 2020. That chart says everything. Coronavirus is, if not completely dead, is dying. People aren't dying from it. And that's why they're hyping the new cases. It just says it all. Let's go to the next one. And this is, I'm going to be quick, but this is sent to Alex Berenson, who's doing a terrific job. He's a former New York Times reporter. Does a lot of great work on Twitter. Let's leave that up, please. A lot of great work on Twitter. He got an email from the managing partner and general counsel of a Texas-based company that owns and operates 13 emergency clinics in Texas. He wrote to Alex Berenson, I follow your reporting, wanted to share some information on Texas. I want people to hear this. He said, and I'm going to skip down. In June, we tested over 2,231 patients. The positive rate is now close to 20%. Let's hit the next one. Versus 4 to 6% positives in May. The vast majority of the cases are mild to very mild symptoms. Average age of people getting tested is mid-30s. Very different patient in terms of age than we've seen before June. Most of these patients would not have met the strict criteria that we previously had for testing. right? Now they can, all of a sudden they can get testing. With more testing kits, we can do a broader group. He says, we've had very few hospital transfers because of COVID. The vast majority of the patients are better within 2 to 3 days of the visit, and most would be described as having a cold, a mild one at that, or symptoms related to allergies. Usually we provide a steroid shot and some antibiotics, and it seems to get better. They say it makes a difference to do that. In terms of the ER, we're almost done, Dr. Paul, but in terms of driving them to the ER, roughly half have been told by their employers to get a test. Let's go to the next one. They had a sneeze, something like this, and their employer said, hey, go get a test. You need to get a test because tests are easier to get now, essentially is what's happening. It says the average stay of COVID patients is 3 to 5 days, much lower than the patients that were seen in April and May. Their symptoms are also milder. Most of these patients are not in the ICU. The ICU units are filled with really sick people and their non-COVID issues. They didn't come in earlier, and this is what you've said before, Dr. Paul, because they were too afraid to go in, and now they're super sick, is what this administrator said. Let's go to the next one. This is, I think, almost the last one. And he said no real breakdown on the patients who've had COVID, who are not in hospital because of COVID. So we've heard stories of how discharge planners are being pressured to put COVID as primary diagnosis, and that pays significantly better. Hospitals want to avoid this discussion, but if they don't, they risk another shutdown. It may be an explanation for why there's a gap in executives. So just do the final one now. This is the last, his conclusion. Overall, based on what we're seeing in our facilities, the above information is really more of a positive story. You have more people who are testing positive with minimal symptoms. That means the fatality rate is less than commonly reported. I'm sorry that was long, but I think that's really fascinating. This guy's in the business. He's saying this is what we're seeing.
Well, to me, that's all very important. But I think the most important chart that appeals to me is the one where it goes up and down to zero. And I was thinking, if we could take that chart and not label anything and show it to 10 independent epidemiologists and tell them this is a record of an infection. Tell us where we are on this. It's over.
Yeah.
I mean, it's down to the baseline, and they haven't quite admitted that yet, but that's what they should realize. But I think it should be announced. Why don't we announce today? It's essentially over, and it's come back to sanity because it was essentially never as bad as they claimed, although it was bad because of some of the things that the way they were treated, the misunderstanding, how it was politicized. And yet the lockdowns are now turning out to have been every bit, if not worse, than the epidemic. So this is the reality that has come about. But I think that, people will wake up, and they are waking up, and the epidemiologists are coming. We were very impressed with the doctors in Houston, three major hospitals, saying the headlines are not telling the story, even in paper here, the headline was saying one thing, but the next line said something else, that it wasn't nearly as bad as the headlines are saying. But I guess that's how some people, get people's attention. But it's also some people who see they get support where people are intimidated and frightened and say, please save me. We need the government. Who? What do you mean you don't need the government for this? Well, they're not very good at practicing medicine. Matter of fact, they've done a lousy job practicing medicine here. And the more removed they are from the medical care system, from the payment on down, it would be much better for all of us. And I think truth is breaking out. It was way overblown. We're moving in the other direction, and yet the headlines haven't changed, but they are already preparing for the next crisis, the next virus. So be prepared. The totalitarians feel like they've got a foothold in the door, and they've had that foothold in the door for a while, but it looks like got it up to their knee right now, and we need to do whatever we can to make sure that the totalitarians who believe that they have to run our lives and run the world and that they know what's good. Individuals do not know what's right for themselves. They don't know what's right for their children. It's on and on. So we need a better understanding and more confidence and more support for the principles of liberty. Then we can move on to a society where we will have more peace and more prosperity. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.